When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
No. Finley, can you say Josh?
Josh.
Widdicombe.
Widdicombe.
And can you say Rob?
What?
Beckett.
Beckett.
Well done, Finley.
She came in at the end, didn't she? To claim all the credit.
So she was praising a dog for having a shit.
Hey, Josh, why do you say that, Rob? Why is that the first thing that jumps into your head?
I'm training a dog, mate, and I've got a dog now. I'm like Keanu Reeves in John Wick. Got a little dog, my little mate.
Oh, well, listen, Gromit. Hi, Josh and Rob. We've been avid followers of the podcast from the beginning when we were locked down with a 3-year-old. Me and my husband are both Christian ministers.
Oh!
Your podcast has helped us through when parenting for the first time.
Wow.
And serve the growing need of our community felt overwhelming. You gave us laughs we needed. Sorry for swearing, guys.
Fuck off. Don't listen. It's not my problem.
This is our 20-month, I think. You stopped counting in months after one. It was just started copying everything we say. P.S. We've bought both your books, so pretty sure we deserve a shout-out, Rachel and Tom. Thank you.
Yes, Rachel and Tom.
I'm glad that we're big in the minister community.
Yeah, I'll keep the religious guys on side. Always have. Don't really dabble in it myself, but I haven't got a problem with it. That's my view on religion.
Exactly. My view is... Do you want to know my view on religion, Rob?
What's that?
I don't have the brain power to know whether there is or isn't a God. I wouldn't want to stake my number either side.
No, well, I treat religion a bit like veganism. It's probably the right thing to do, but I can't be bothered.
Oh, on the subject of veganism.
Okay, go on.
Hello to Lisa Ranganathan.
Oh, yes!
Who is a long-time listener of the show, much to her husband's annoyance.
Yeah, Ramesh texts both of us, livid, that Lisa Ranganathan. Hi, Lise, hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
We would just like to publicly offer you the opportunity to come on the show.
Yeah.
And we can chat about and your lovely 3 children and how you deal with them and things that annoy you about your partner, Ramesh, and how he parents. So, Lisa, if you're listening, you've got our numbers. Just let us know. We'll get you on the show. Maybe a Christmas special.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. It's great to have, you know, we've had John Richardson and Lucy Beaumont. It's good to hear both sides. So we've had Ramesh on. It'll be good to hear Lisa's side. So, Lisa, whenever you're ready.
The correct side. It'd be good to hear the truth, wouldn't it?
It'd be good to hear the truth about their children and not be sidetracked by Fortnite. That would be lovely.
Anyway, thank you for listening, Lisa. And, you know, I'd love to say that Rose can't stop listening to Hip Hop Save My Life, but I'm not going to lie to our listeners. Now, how are you, Rob?
Yeah, good. Not too bad. Just a few pisses and shits in the garden, and the dog training's going well as well.
Oh, you know what?
I got a sat hound and it does loads of shits. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, good. I was just... You hear jokes like that and you go, no wonder we're popular with...
No wonder we're popular. People like average comedy.
People like comedy that gets the job done straight from A to B.
They're busy people. They don't want to think. They don't want to be challenged. They just want a quick laugh, a quick switcheroo, switcheroo joke, pull back and reveal. It was actually me doing a poo in the garden and not my dog, the sat hound. But, you know, all good. Kids are all right to a point. And, yeah, just sort of just surviving. How about you?
Can I talk to you about something, Rob?
Yeah, go on.
Teething.
Oh, no. What's happened?
It's teeth city here at the moment. It's my daughter wasn't a bad teether, but I've only realised that 4 years on.
No, has she lost any yet for her new ones yet? Or
No.
So she's still rocking the old crew.
Yeah, she's still got the old classics. My son is having an absolute shocker.
Oh no, what's he got?
He's got gums. He's got wet gums. He's got pain and nothing to show for it.
Well, that's what happened with dogs. My dog's teething,
Rob.
Yeah.
Rob, please. Not everything.
It's like a fucking baby, mate. It's teething as well.
Rob, have you got a baby by mistake? Is that what you've got? We've got this weird hairless dog, right?
And it keeps shivering in the garden having a shit. The breeder said it was very exotic and don't leave it out. It might get kidnapped. That's what they said.
Yeah, exactly. And all with dog cowpaw, it's fine. Just give it some cowpaw, it'll be fine.
Loves Mr. Tumble, this dog.
Yeah. No, teething is an absolute nightmare.
Oh, that's a bastard, isn't it? Cold, isn't it? They like cold stuff.
Yeah, and just like absolutely, just unhappy the whole time. Well, not big red cheeks. Do you know what I mean? Like, were you good or bad for teething?
Not too bad, but there was it's a bit like being, I imagine you sort of, you know, like people just in the war come home and never talk about the war because they've sort of blocked it out of their head because it was so horrific. I think that sort of happens with parenting. There's certain stages I've been through, which is quite good that we document it on here, that I completely forgot ever happened. But yes, I imagine it was horrific considering the teeth situation that's going on in the person that bred them, i.e. me.
So, yeah, of course. They're bringing out the big guns, aren't they?
Yeah. They're bringing out the big dogs. There's some gummy cream.
Even when you say the big
stuff, dogs,
you can't get dogs off your mind, Rob.
Shut
it's
up.
Unbelievable.
God, it's actually quite anxiety-inducing having a dog. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Oh, it's just a thing there all the time. He's lovely, though. But he just sort of needs stuff, doesn't he? Yeah, let's stop talking about dog. Oh, fucking hell. Is it right? Let's do some Instagrams. Let's stop talking about fucking dogs. Okay. Hi, just listen to the Have You Taken Magic Mushrooms pod and generally the family parking spaces for ages of children up to 12 years old. Love the podcast, Michelle. I think that's because 12-year-olds is when they don't have to be in a car seat booster.
Yes, of course.
So that's that sorted. I saw a man park in a space the other day and I nearly said something, Josh, but I panicked.
Did you?
I didn't want to confront him. It was a man on his own. And he was old, though, so I didn't know if he had a sneaky little blue badge, which basically means you can park where you want, doesn't it, if you've got a blue disabled badge.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to go, all right there, mate, need a hand with your kids. And he turns around and goes, I'm actually disabled. And I'm like, oh, God.
So if you could help me with the wheelchair and the boot, mate,
that's going to be on Pop Bitch. You can't wait out with this wheelchair, please, because I'm just like, okay, yeah, I will. I'm really sorry, mate. Yeah, I will. So I didn't say anything, but apparently, up to 12 years is the age. Anyway, here we go. Oh my God, this story is horrific. This is from Melanie. Listen to the podcast where a lady squirted milk on a teenage waiter when she was breastfeeding by accident. Obviously, she's
by
not
accident.
Alluded.
We should add that. Go back and listen to it. It's not as weird as it sounds. Well, it is.
It is weird, but it wasn't intentionally weird. It was sort of manslaughter milking. This brought back the memory of when I was 17 working at Alton Towers at the front of the queue for Oblivion, letting people on the platform where the ride docked. And I got stung by a wasp. Pretty much immediately, a lady at the front of the queue whipped out a boob and squirted some milk on the sting on my arm.
What?
Yes. She said she did it because breast milk is healing and would reduce the sting.
That is
not acceptable.
No.
That is... I'm not sure how I feel about it, to be honest. My reaction was ever so polite and I probably seemed very grateful, but inside I was thoroughly confused and a bit creeped out. Her family, who were queuing up with her, looked on slightly apologetic and ever so embarrassed. That is not acceptable.
No.
You can't whip your tit out and squeeze milk on a sting.
I think I'd just get on Oblivion, turn it on to get out of the situation in that. Jump on Oblivion, press start, go, bye.
God, imagine that's not okay.
Did it work?
Well, even if it does work, you have to ask for. If you get jellyfish, apparently piss works, but you have to say, "Can I piss on you?"
Yeah, of course.
I think if you're going to piss on someone or squirt milk on someone, there needs to be a a communication of consent.
Bare minimum, sign a waiver, really, in that situation.
You can't just whip it out, squeeze milk and go, that. There you go, thank you very much. No, invoice in the post.
That is one of the most surreal... Imagine queuing up for an hour for Oblivion and that happens in front of you.
I think you've already had Oblivion. the ride's just extra. Hi, guy, love the podcast. Just listening to the latest one, I thank my lucky stars every day I was born a girl. My dad has 4 daughters and wanted to call every single one of us Gareth if we were a boy.
Oh.
You would have thought over 13 years he would have gone off it. Absolute madman. Hazel, that is. Thanks, Hazel, not fair Gareth.
Nice name, Hazel.
Joshua, who we got this week?
Sophie Ellis Baxter, who has, Rob, how many children?
5.
5 children!
Cinco de Mama.
Yes.
I was at Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah, nice. It's really quite good, that.
Was that good? But yeah, she needs to be on. But if she was Mexican, it would be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's just. Well, it's, yeah.
Sorry. His Sophie. Sophie Ellis-Bextor, or Soph, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're excited. Yeah.
I think you've got the most children that we've got. Yeah, Paris Fury on soon, which I think may beat your record, but you will hold the record
for a week.
For a week, I think. 5 children, is that correct, Sophie?
That's correct. The last head count, 5. Yeah.
5. All boys, right?
Yes.
What ages have you got?
My eldest is 17 and my youngest is 2.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a lot of kids, Sophie. So is there a big gap between the youngest and the others, or is it all just spread out quite evenly?
There's 5 years between the first 2 and then 3 years for the next 4.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, I got into a bit more of a rhythm.
Like a conservative election year. Just sort of 5 years and 3, 3, 3. How is that now? Like, because it must be, you're doing 2 things there. A 17-year-old and a 2-year-old. You've got two different things to parent.
I mean, my youngest started nursery the same week my eldest had his first driving lesson. Oh, so you do get those parallels quite often. But
did he drop him off? That'd be quite handy.
Would be handy, actually. But I think I quite like all that. I quite like the juxtaposition of all the age gap. For me, it makes things... I mean, sometimes it's easier, I guess, if they're closer together. But sometimes there's a nice balance that comes with having lots of different stuff going on all the time. And
yeah. Well, that's what I can see why you called your book Spinning Plates.
Yeah.
Because how did you write a book when you've got these 5 kids to look after and your career?
You know what? I was quite chilled about it, I think, is the way I approached it. Because my mum, she's written books, and she said, don't feel like you've got almost, you know, turned into a different person who's writing a book. So I just would sit actually where I am now, which is my youngest's bedroom and also my dressing room. And I'd have the door open and I'd just be tapping away and I'd just sort of see how long I could get away with without anyone coming to disturb me. And if they did, then I would just stop for a while. But yeah, just little bits every day, really.
Yeah.
You've done a book as well, haven't you? So you would know.
Yeah, just little
chunks. With 2 kids, though, it's easy, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, we've got 2 kids, you know. And I didn't
even
have
a book with a dog, though. You couldn't do a book with a dog.
You couldn't do a book with a dog, no.
That's a fact, isn't it?
Let's not talk about this fucking dog. Stop bringing the dog up, Josh. You know it gets in my head. Got to think it's going to do something in a minute, that dog. And are they off to uni, is it, the 17, or are they still doing, is it?
Yeah, he's gone to college now. And so, yeah, he just finished his GCSEs last year. And now he's doing a design course. So yeah, he'll be 18 in April, and then I think Richard and I might be like one high five, like one adult done.
Yeah.
And then we'll focus on the next 4.
Only 16 years till it's 5 in the back.
Exactly. So do you like 50-50 with the parenting, or is it one more than other? How do you divvy it up? Because it must be more stressful with more kids, or is once you've got 5, you're all bunched in together, is it?
I don't know. I mean, no, it's quite exponential. I think when I went from 1 to 2, it really dawned on me that, oh, it's not like, oh, you've got 1, you just add another one. It's like, oh, no, it's double the work.
Yeah.
And there's more to delegate. And I think I'm a bit of a control freak with the admin side. So I do like kid admin. So, and obviously now that there's a lot of them, that's a lot of stuff to get through.
That's mental load, I think that's known as in the game, isn't it? We've been told that mental load
mental
stuff.
Load.
Yeah,
right.
Knowing where they've got to be, what they've got to do at all times, yeah. And that kind of stuff. But you're not maybe, and then he may do more of the physical moving them there and taking them there stuff. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like Richard, it wouldn't be that unusual for him to get their ages wrong or the year that they're in at school.
Okay, fair enough.
Correcting him on that.
Yeah, that sounds like my dad.
I'm kind of up to speed on that stuff.
What car have you got? Sorry, I'm getting into details now.
What a question.
Five kids, what car? What's the car sitch, Soph?
Well, so we have, we've got a Chrysler, like an old beat up, old car Chrysler that's a seven-seater that we use when we need to do a family trip.
And does that get car seats in as well? But now you're probably not a car seat stage as well. It fits in a car.
Yeah,
big old boy,
that's
Chrysler.
Fine.
Voyager?
Then,
is it the Voyager?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Chrysler Voyager, yes. Yeah,
God,
classic
such a geezer.
Car.
Rob moonlights as a traffic police officer, and he's just double checking that you're not breaking any rules.
No, but my dad was obsessed with cars, and he always wanted a big one to get us all in, because I've got four brothers. Chrysler Voyager is there was a lot of chat about that in the Ford Galaxy as options for seven seaters.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's a big, it's quite a nice van, but it's basically a van with seats in, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. And then we go from that practical, and then down to sort of impractical, which is actually being fixed at the moment. But we have a tuk-tuk.
Well, a motor one or a bicycle one?
It's a motor, yeah, so it's electric. But yeah, it's basically got like, it's like a trike. So you've got like a motorbike type bit of the front, like a scooter. And then you can fit three in the back. So that's good for the primary school and the nursery drop-off.
What speed does that go?
What's it look like? I'm trying to get, so is it, what's the
it's
name
the
of it?
It's the same colours as the Mumbai tuk-tuk, so it's yellow and black.
Yellow and black, so you get three in the back.
Oh, wow.
Is that, do you know what
look
it's called?
That.
So I can see it.
If you Google Mumbai tuk-tuk.
Just a Mumbai, so it's a,
oh,
one,
wow.
It's a one that you've
Did
been
you get
ported
it imported?
Over. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's, well, basically Richard and I went to Delhi. Oh, golly, it must be about 4 years ago now.
Yeah.
For a Save the Children trip, actually. And we travelled around a lot in these tuk-tuks. And as a sort of joke, he said, oh, this would be quite good for the school run.
Yeah.
And then when I got back to the hotel, I realised that there was tuktuk.co.uk. This guy imports them. He's in Chester and he imports them. So, yeah, we...
I was hoping you were going to say that you'd driven one back from India. That would have been the ultimate story.
My postman asked me if it was the one from the Groovejet video, which I thought was really funny. Like, I'd sort of 20 years later tried to find a tuk-tuk from a video I once did.
Wow.
And then because it's classed as a trike, you can actually park in any residence bay without any ticket.
Oh my God.
Oh my
I love it.
She's got round it.
This is amazing. It's like when Noel Edmonds used to drive a taxi, a black cab through Bristol, but have a mannequin in the back to look like a passenger so he could go in the bus lanes.
Yeah, he could go in the bus.
Please tell me it's not like that.
Well, okay,
no. Yeah, but actually, in its absence, I've been walking. I walked the kids to school in the morning. That's quite good. I like the walk.
Fair enough.
Gives me a bit of a clear head.
Oh wow. Okay, so that's the car sitch. And what's the morning looking like? What time do you get up? What's the schedule getting them? Because that's a lot of people to get out of the house to different places. Are they all in different schools, different nurseries? What are we dealing
with? Exactly. Yeah, and I don't really love the morning thing because you do it every day and it's exhausting, and then you don't get any reward at the end. You just have to do it again the next day and again the next day. So I set my alarm for like 6:45.
That's good.
Get my big two up by 7. My eldest one has to be out the door with a toasted sandwich for his breakfast in his bag by 7:15 he leaves.
Yeah.
Next one's out the door by 7:30. And then I've kind of got a light, it gets a bit more leisurely after that because then I just have to get the little three ready by 8:30 is when we leave to go to school and nursery. And it's a walking distance.
Wow. And are they all in the same school?
Two in primary. So it's one in nursery, two in primary, one in secondary, one in college. But obviously the big two take care of themselves.
Yes,
so
they're gone.
Three that I need to get somewhere,
Okay, cool, fair enough. All right, blimey. That's not bad though, 6:45. But they sort themselves out, the big two. Just as long as you give him a toasted sandwich, he's all right.
Yeah, exactly, okay. On his way, and a little thermos of tea. And he's off. Yeah.
Little thermos of tea. That's...
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'd have loved that as a kid. That would have been great. Toasted sandwich and thermos of tea. That is my dream.
And so do you still make it for him?
Yes, I know. I do, yeah.
When do you think that'll change? Do you reckon that's always going to be a thing, isn't it? That's, you can't...
I know. I'm actually really bad with that. I think I do probably do a little bit too much with them, really, because... I don't know. I just get a bit like, would you like me, you know, can you do that? Oh, don't worry, I'll do it. And then, I'm that kind of mum, really.
So is it, and does he quite like it? Or is he a bit like, oh, mum, stop it? Or is he like, mum, where's my sandwich? Because sometimes it goes two ways, doesn't it? A teenager can be, he likes it.
He likes it, yeah.
I don't think my mum made me a toasted sandwich at 17.
No, and also my mum didn't actually, I don't remember seeing her in the morning before my secondary school. I used to get up, I'd see my stepdad and then I'd be on my way, but I'm basically the human alarm. So if I don't wake up, no one wakes up. I have
oh, really?
To go over that,
oh,
wow.
there, yeah. And because he's 17, he must be going out and being a, you know, he's at that age where you're kind of dealing with a teenager going out for the first time and stuff.
Yeah,
how's
there's
that
a bit
to deal
of that.
With?
You know what? He's not been too bad, but I think the next one down is going to really be the more challenging one.
And how old is he?
He's 12 now, but he's already nearly taller than me. Like, he's about 5'6", okay? And then Sonny's about 6 foot. So I've got quite a tall gene. So when they start to overtake you, that's when it gets a bit trickier, I think.
Yeah, what's it like telling off a massive bloke?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That's making telling you make him a sandwich.
Bigger than you. Yeah. I don't know about you guys. How old are your kids?
Mine is 4 and 6 months.
Oh,
and
tiny, sweet.
Yeah.
And I've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, so we're right at the other end of the spectrum.
Okay. Well, my experience is when they get past double figures, the telling off changes shape a little bit. Actually, maybe not double figures, maybe when they get a bit older, like 13, 14. So I don't really shout at my eldest ever. It's more like we'll have, you know, chats about things.
Yeah.
I don't think telling off would work, really. And it's all about, you've got to be really careful with keeping the communication open. And actually, I spoke to Catelyn Moran once about it, because I do a podcast as well where I talk to working mums. And she said you've got to basically turn yourself a bit bovine. She said you've got to make yourself like a friendly cow. So you don't try and problem solve everything. You sort of act a bit like, hello, how's it all going? A bit sort of sleepy and dopey. But really in here, you're like, and actually I think that's quite a good technique with teenagers. I'd recommend that.
Do you feel like seeing these children at different stages, looking now, can you see their personalities are really clear from the off, or do they like who they are early on?
No, I'm big believer in that. My belief is that Sonny was who Sonny was from the moment I laid eyes on him. He just happened to be a baby when I met him, and I felt like that for all of them. Because you think you're having a baby and you've got all these ideas about, oh, I'm going to do this with my baby, that, and then you meet who they are. I think parenting's a lot more reactive than I ever anticipated. And they need different things from me, and certain things work well with one and not so much with another. So, no, the kernel of who they are is just set from the offset, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Does that worry you, Rob, or does that make you...
I agree with it, because my two's personalities have been so set in stone from day one, and it's just getting just more, like, confirmed as they get older. And the second one is definitely livelier. Like, that's the one I'm worried about going out and about. And I think that's true about... That's a really sort of wise thing about when they're older, is I think teenagers hate being told what to do. And it's almost like you have to be their therapist, where you just listen and then you say a couple of things that isn't necessarily telling them what to do, but then they sort of go figure it out for themselves, but then they feel like they've thought of it.
Yeah.
I would totally recommend that approach. Definitely.
Because you want to go, I know what this is like, because this happened to me, and don't worry about this, because that, blah, blah, blah. And then that just is like, fuck off, it's a wall of noise. And they don't care. They don't care about anything you've got to say, no matter who you are or what you've done.
Like, who cares? And sometimes as well, another thing I've found worked for me anyway is when Sonny was first going on the internet and going like, you know, I don't know, he used to do like VR where he'd speak to friends, and I found a lot of it freaked me out. And then I just went and I said to him, look, I'm not the expert. You're the expert. I'm going to tell you what they're telling us parents to worry about, and you're going to reassure me about why I shouldn't be worrying about these things. Yeah. And I kind of went through the checklist, really. Like, you know, these are the issues that we're told to look out for, but you can tell me why I can relax. And actually, it kind of put him in the driving seat with it, and that worked quite well for us as well, I think, because then he realised that I trusted him.
Yeah, because that happens a lot, doesn't it? Because I remember when I was a kid and Grand Theft Auto came out, right, and there was all these bad stuff, like news, like, oh, kids are going to be drug dealers, or they're going to be murderers and all this, and also people played so much of it that they went into like sort of like a fit and a shock and all that, and my mum don't know that, it's literally just a little PlayStation game, start watching the telly, but you're pressing a couple of buttons and it's all, you know, there's no difference between watching like a gangster movie and watching, you know, and that kind of stuff, and like, and when you're a kid and you're playing it, my mum's like, you can't play that game or you'll have a fit. And I'm like, no, you've just read the Daily Mail. That's what's happened.
Exactly.
And even at 14, I knew that. And I knew that it was getting blown up because it's a media thing. But if you open that chat, it makes it a lot easier, doesn't it, than just screaming.
Yeah. We've had a thing recently where the school sent home an email saying that the kids aren't allowed to talk about Squid Game at school.
Oh, wow.
Which is quite... quite
not allowed to talk about it.
No,
that's a bit weird. What's it? Fuck off.
Imagine being caught talking about Squid Game.
That's a strict school, that is. I heard you talk about Squid Game. No, I wasn't, actually.
So what did you do?
It's a zeitgeist thing. It's like, that horse is bolted. What am I going to do? And also, we just had half-term holidays where all of us, including two-year-old Mickey, were playing Red Light, Green Light, where if Jesse had learnt the Korean song that the girl sings when the doll... And then we turn around and, like, Jesse's five at the time, tends to shoot us. And, like, Mickey, the two-year-old, he does really good death scenes.
He's
pretending to die.
Yeah, but I think, obviously, you wouldn't let a child watch in all the gore, but they'll be aware of the zeitgeisty things. What's the time, Mr. Wolf, that game, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Basically, it's that game. Exactly. It's just the Korean version of that game.
There was a thing a few years ago where the teacher, he's not there anymore, but he phoned me because the kids were talking about Fortnite at school. And it turned out that he told my kid off and said, you can't talk about Fortnite and you're not allowed to play it. And my son had said, actually, my mum doesn't mind. And the teacher said, if your mum asked you to rob a bank, would you do that? And I was like, when he told me, I was like, firstly, that's illegal. So, that's an illegal thing. Secondly, if I decide the family's going and robbing a bank this weekend, yes, you're bloody well doing it.
What a news story it would be if you got caught with your five kids robbing a bank. That would be...
I thought it was a weird comparison from the teacher. what are you trying to get my son to, question what I say now? Thanks.
Yeah. Sophie Ellis Bank Breaker. That'll be the pun title, wouldn't it?
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Growing up, I found that my friends that had it really strict went mental.
Obviously,
you don't want to be the other end of it, but there's a sort of a middle ground, which is like, but if you, you know, the ones that weren't allowed a beer or anything like that just went insane. Lou weren't allowed any fizzy drinks growing up. She does about 15 cans of Diet Coke a day. She's an animal.
Do you know what I was allowed, fizzy drink-wise, was the small trial can of Tango. Do you remember the small ones you get at the supermarket?
Yeah.
So my dad would buy them as a kind of halfway house. You're allowed one of those small cans of Tango a day. And I'm chilled with fizzy drinks now.
You're
totally fine with it, mate. I'll have a Rio now and again, but that's it.
Do you have many house rules, Sophie, or is it quite relaxed? Is there anything that's a big no-no and it's caused rows? Or
there are some things. I mean, I don't like it if any swearing goes on. Because especially with the front of the little ones, I'm it's not cool. But then every once in a while, one of them, I mean, I'll tell them off in front of them, but every once in a while, there'll be an amusing bit of swearing that goes on.
Yeah.
And then I'm like privately finding it funny.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's the problem with the big age gap. Actually, my eldest is not really that bad with language stuff, but the next one down, if he's listening to something on his phone and they'll be swearing on that. So they do probably hear more than I would like.
Yeah.
Bloody's fine. I say
but it's
bloody.
Difficult, isn't it, when they're older and they're talking about saying things and the little ones hear, isn't it? Because they copy them. Because my daughter read piss written on a picture in my book and she says piss now and the other one says piss and they love it. And then we got to the point, because it was quite funny, where now we just say they're allowed to say one naughty word a day and they'll come up to me and go, one naughty word. I go, and then they'll just whisper on me, piss. And then that's it for the day.
See, that's the equivalent of my tiny can of Tango, Rob.
Well, exactly.
That's exactly the way to do it.
It is a bit. Trial, rude word.
What are you going to do, Rob, though, if they come up and use a proper big swear word for their one a day?
No, but they don't. They think that is like a really bad one. But the young, obviously, they can spell, like the five-year-old can spell, but the three-year-old can spell her name and she can spell poo and piss. So she can spell three words and one of them is piss, which is quite bad. That is bad, isn't it? That shouldn't really happen.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it's a good base. Does it work well as a good basic for learning other words? Probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah, she's got all across the P sound, the I sound. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm trying to think about the house rules. I like kindness. I'm probably a bit obsessed with them getting to be kind. I try and get them to think before they speak. I don't know house rules. I think it's just the sort of basic stuff, really. There's got to be some boundaries about, you know, not taking things physical and about how we are interact. It's a busy house and it's,
yeah,
you know, and also when this is the place where it's safe to let a lot of big emotions out. So, you know, I try to be kind of understanding, but yeah, I think I try and keep rules on manners is probably my hottest topic, I'd say.
Did you always want like a busy house? Like, was that something you always imagined living in as a...
I don't know, really. When I was little, I was actually an only child till I was 8. I'm the only one from my mum and dad. And then when I was 8, my brother Jackson was born and I was absolutely obsessed with him. And I think that probably sowed the seed, really. And that's from my mum and my stepdad. So he was almost like this sort of new beginning, like a happy new thing. Yeah. And I think that's probably something that's hardwired with me, that like babies are good. And that whole thing of like having a baby on the hip is something I've done throughout my whole life, really, since then, because I've got lots of little siblings now. I've got 3 sisters and 2 brothers who are all younger than me.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of chaos, that family chaos, is something I really like. But yeah, in some ways, I think if I hadn't had 5, I think I would have just had 1. I feel like it was
really,
yeah.
Are you going to go more? Another one?
I don't know. I think I'm so close to being, like, dead with...
He's just got 16 years. What's another 80? Another 2 years. What, make it
Oh, yeah. It's tricky, though. Like, my youngest is nearly 3, so I'm kind of at the point where there'd normally be another one. But then I'm 42, so I'm like, oh, it's probably time to just watch them grow up now.
Yeah.
Hard, though. Tricky.
You're still tempted, aren't you?
I'm not one of those people that can form the, like, say, I'm done. I can't. I've never been able to, like, form the sentence. It's like my mouth just kind of goes...
What about Rich?
He's pretty chill. I don't think he instigated many of the last few, to be honest.
He was more the sort of talk bearer that
yeah,
idea.
I think he's just kind of gone, okay then.
What are your Saturdays like with... I'm finding it a bit overwhelming with 2 kids and birthday parties, because basically we've birthday parties every weekend for like till Christmas and beyond. Yeah. So how do you do that with 5? You must have... Because you physically can't get to them all.
No, and we actually had Jesse, my 4th, he was 6 last week, so he had his birthday yesterday. So we had an extra few kids here and we took them all out and about and did that. Always something like that going on. But we sort of pick and choose, I guess. I just ask them if they want to go, I'll make it work.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just logistics. And I mean, I've got, you know, good parents with their year group who are always good at helping me out, because I quite often call in, like, can anyone help me with a lift here and I can bring them back and that kind of thing. Cause, yeah,
oh, fair enough. Yeah.
Otherwise, all you're doing is running around all weekend and I don't really want to do that.
No. And you're working as well. How do you manage to work? How do you switch off? Like, because isn't there your phone constantly going with mum, where's this, where's that? What have I got my rugby kit and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I don't really switch off that much, really, if I'm honest.
Could you just turn your phone off and Rich sorts it? Or do you still just have your phone there?
I sort of just get on with it, really. Richard would obviously do stuff if he's the one that gets asked to, definitely. Yeah. But with that sort of stuff, it's quite normal that I'll just be kind of quickly sorting things. And then when I've taken them away with me, I've sometimes done it where I've taken the elder ones without bringing anyone to help me with them. And then they'll just be side of stage and then I'll come off still in my like twinkly stuff and quickly make them a sandwich or whatever. It's fine. I think I quite like the flip, really, because my job is quite daft and it's quite a lot of emphasis on, you know, getting asked questions about me or how, you know, getting myself ready. And I think it's quite nice that when I'm with the kids, it's all about them. I quite like that.
Yeah.
I sort of quite enjoy just going like, okay, let's talk about you. They don't really care about what I do that much at all.
They're not interested. Are they any of them musical?
Yeah, they are. But I don't know if they'll do it for a living or anything. But yeah, especially my youngest couple actually are like pretty musical. My 2-year-old goes to nursery with a playlist that I play from the back of the buggy, and he's like headbanging. So they were System of a Down, Marshmallow, J Balvin, Skrillex. He's quite into his reggaeton at the moment as well, so we have a lot of that.
Amazing. And
it's really funny.
You grew up with a mum who's in the public eye as well. And so how do you manage that in a way? Do your kids care that you're kind of famous or that you're recognisable? And did you like that feeling when you were a kid?
I think I had a bit of a love-hate relationship with it, really, because as a child, I sort of learned that there was quite a currency to it. And my mum was also famous for presenting a children's TV program. So a lot of the kids I was meeting or going to school were actually watching my mum on telly.
Yeah.
And if she was being mobbed, she was being mobbed by people like my height. So I think I kind of quite quickly realised that there was a bit of a currency, but that also it could kind of turn on you.
Yeah.
So there were definitely some perks. I remember going to Madame Tussauds for our birthday party and we skipped the queue, which I thought was the most glamorous thing ever. But then sometimes I felt like a bit jealous because I felt like I sort of had to share her with people, probably.
Yeah.
She never made me feel like that, but you know.
I was reading about your book and it said that you talk about you were flogging Blue Peter badges in the playground. That must have... So yeah. Did you have a pure source of Blue Peter badges as a child? Is that your mum could just get them? They were there.
My mum had to wear them for every episode of the programme. So every time they went live, and it was twice a week. So obviously sometimes they'd reuse the badges, but sometimes she'd just go on, put her top on, and they'd be like, there's your badge. So sometimes they'd make it home that way. So she seemed to have a lot of them lying around in the house.
My word.
I don't know what made me think of it, but I must have been, I was primary, so let's say I was about 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And I was hang on a minute, I think there's some business to be made.
How much does one go
how
for?
How much are you fetching?
50p for a badge or £1 if you wanted it with a signed autograph.
Wow, not bad.
Amazing.
I'm not proud of it, by the way. It's just, I don't know.
Did you find writing the book and going back across your life, looking back at your childhood, did that affect how you kind of experience being a parent to your kids now?
Definitely. Yeah. I'm quite a similar parent to my mum, I think, and aspects of my dad too. But my mum and I, especially because I was with my mum majority of the time, my dad every other weekend. And for 3 years, it was just my mum and I. She was like a single mum for that time. And I think that formed the bedrock really of our relationship and definitely how I parent. And she did a lot of the same stuff I do, lots and lots of talking. My kids are very used to me just being we're going to talk about this. And I've got a little script for everything, probably, which is probably very annoying for them. But I have warned them if they keep, if things keep happening that I don't think are right, then I just look, I've got inexhaustible supply of this and patience. I'm prepared to have this conversation many times over.
when you're booking a holiday, how do you book a holiday that all the kids are happy with? Because it's easy when you've got two.
Rob, you're absolutely obsessed with the way it works with five.
Yeah,
kids.
I like that.
The practicalities of it.
Yeah, you love it.
Just that sort of thing, because that would stress me out, because if you get a little kid's pool, then you need to know you have something that the older kids can do in the evening and things
like
that.
You're quite right. Well, actually, in the last holiday we went on, my eldest didn't come because I said to him, do you want to come? Would you want to stay here and hang out? And my mum lives 10 minutes away. I was like, you can see grandma. And he just did that instead.
Oh, really?
So we had a week away without him, and he went away during last summer as well for 6 weeks to visit a friend in Germany. And he did that by himself. So he flew there. And then I would just keep in touch. That's the longest he's done that for. But I thought, it's good for him. He had a great time. And I'm quite sympathetic because I was a lot older than my little brother and sister. So I know that feeling of you love them, but you also, it's kiddie stuff. And it's all pitched to that age group. And yes, they do look cute sitting on the merry-go-round. You don't really want to stand there watching everything happen like that. I think it's nice for him to go and do his own thing when he has the opportunity. Yes. So I'm cool with that. And then, we actually did this holiday, though, for the first time ever, we did hand luggage only, which I'm very proud of for kids. So, four kids, a week away.
A week away, hand luggage only?
Yes.
Fucking hell.
Bloody I know, boom. Hell. I felt that so good mad. About it.
With a two-year-old as well.
Where'd you go? Yeah. A naturist resort?
Yes, actually, yes.
How did you manage that? My God.
Well, the two-year-old is easy because his stuff is tiny, very small items of clothing. And we went to Italy where, it's really hot, so you're spending most of the time in swimwear.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
It was actually all right. I just felt quite good about it.
Does the two-year-old get a hand luggage allowance himself?
Yes, because now that he's two, he has his own ticket.
Yeah.
So he's got a massive bag that's bigger than him.
And you just dominating a whole row, or are you going in front and behind?
The whole row. We go in front and behind, actually, because then the two-year-old, if he's kicking the seat in front of him, it's just his brother.
Oh, you're fucking... No, literally, this is the most...
Absolutely.
You're like a robot, you're like a machine. You're like you've been built. This is unbelievable. I'm learning so much.
Take us through bedtime.
Okay, bedtime.
Bedtime is tiring. So I start off with the smallest guy, Mickey.
Yep.
Yeah, it'd be hard, harsh on the 17-year-old, wouldn't it? Right, you're up first, half six.
Yeah. And then I do Jesse and Ray together. So I take them up, and we normally would read a book, but they've got really into this thing they call talking time, which just basically means we chat for 10 minutes.
Aww.
Oh, nice.
And then I bring poor Kit, the 12-year-old, is still sleeping top bunk of a bunk bed that he shares with his 9-year-old brother in the same room as his 6-year-old brother. So there's 3 of them in the room.
All right.
But yeah, Ray and Jess go to bed next, and then Kit goes to bed like 9:30, but sometimes it's 10 if he's being a bit obstinate. And then I go and knock on Sonny's door and say, time to go to bed, because he's generally just in his room, like on his computer or listening to music.
Yeah.
So that's it. So we start at about, bath time starts about 6:37, and it goes all the way through till 10 o'clock with like intermittent breaks for me.
Oh, wow. When are you eating dinner?
If I'm on it, then I'll eat supper with them and Richard will too at about 5:30, 6 o'clock.
And you do dinner at 5:30 for all of them?
Yeah. We got into that with lockdown, really. Richard would do all the cooking. He's a very good cook, which is great for us. So, yes.
And five boys, that's a lot of food, isn't it? Teenage boys eat a lot. I mean, me and my brothers. Yeah. My mum and dad used to just take us all-you-can-eat buffets in the end. It was just the only way to get us full. They used to hate us coming in, all the waiters panicking.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Where are you in the lineup, Rob?
So I've got 2 half-brothers. Okay. I've got 3 older, 1 younger.
Oh, cool.
And there's 5 of us, but cool. It was like, it's very boisterous. And we were like quite harsh to each other. It was quite sort of laddie, sort of harsh banter. But I don't know what it's like yours. Do they get on or do they fight? Are they a bit mean to each other? You're hot on kindness. So do you pull them up on any of that stuff when it veers into a bit harsh?
I try. I mean, I've got some that are more like sensitive, I think, and a bit more like gentle with each other. And then I've got a couple of more like one of them in particular is really quite alpha, I'd say.
Yeah.
So yeah, he can be a bit school of hard knocks. But actually, weirdly, he's the one that the little ones really flock to because they actually really want his attention and his approval. So it's quite interesting. I'm trying to be better at just stepping back, but I think as a parent, seeing one kid be mean to another kid taps into something very deep. Yeah. So I get very like, please don't be like that. He's only 2 or he's only 5. And I think I'm trying to be better at just going like, just unless they come and get me, like just stepping out of it. But
When you've got more as teenagers. So in like 5 years time, when the 12-year-old's 17, then how old you'll have a 17-year-old, a 14-year-old,
and a 11-year-old. Yeah, 17, 14. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
11. Yeah, and that's when it's going to get a little bit fisticuffs, I think. Because the 8-year gap gives you a bit of breathing space. We were horrible to each other, the things we'd say to each other. But it's a bit of a slightly different time. I think you've got a bit more of a gentle household. My dad's a bit selfish, London.
How are you now when you get together? When you get together as adults, how are you?
Yeah, we're all good. We're still quite brutal to each other. We used to call each other as teenagers.
Said in such a throwaway way.
As teenagers, our nicknames were, I had massive nipples, so I was called Jaffa Cake Nips. My brother Dan had a spotty back, so he was called Dartboard Back. And my brother Joe had smelly breath once and got called Dog Shit Breath for about 8 years.
Oh, no.
And my mum used to call it the House of No Compassion. But it was a different time. It was the 90s. Stuff changed. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know, but every once in a while they'll all be kicking off and I'll be like, this is what people think I live like. And then I get very sad. Yeah, I definitely had a couple of moments where I just sit looking sad on a sofa, staring into space like, I like it when they're all being nice.
No, they will be. They, honestly, they will be. It'll be fine. Don't worry. We'll get on really well. Just no problems at all.
If I'd grown up in your household, I would have crumbled, God. Rob. You were...
Oh, no, you wouldn't. You would have just been a bit... You would have been just not as nice as you are now. It's like the house of no fucking compassion in it. It's just like, it was just, but it was just like a different, you know. Of course, my dad's older. My dad's 76, and my other brothers are older. They're like fifth, like he's 50. So there's a big, there's like quite a big gap. But my younger brother's 2 years younger than me, 6 year gap to the next one, and then above that, it's about like a 10 year gap, I think, a 2 year gap. So it's all really spread out, and there's about five different generations. So even like my oldest brothers are almost like my uncles.
Oh yeah,
there's many Beckets, aren't there?
Oh, this, mate, we're so loud as well. But I just think you've got a slightly more calmer, middle-class vibe in your house, Sophie. I feel like it's a bit more, you know... I imagine crochet's been said out loud in your house.
I don't know about crochet, but sometimes I have cringed a bit when they're like, I want sushi, or, you know, I want croissant. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, God, it's so middle-class. Bloody hell.
And they play sports and stuff like that? Are they in a lot of clubs and sports, or...?
Some of them. My eldest two are not at all, were never interested in sport. But the little ones, yeah, a bit more into it. Yeah, the fourth one, Dan, Jess, he really loves his football on Fridays.
Yeah. Because that's a weekend killer. Training Saturday, game on Sunday.
I think in a way as well, I've probably been a bit bad with that because I'm a bit selfish with my time with them and I can't be bothered to spend time like ferrying them around places. Yeah. So they'll do like the odd things and we do stuff after school. They do swimming and piano and stuff like that. But I'm not giving over my weekends really, no.
No. Exactly. No,
you're already giving over like 6 hours every evening to bedtime. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's enough.
Way enough. So like if you and Rich want a date night and stuff like that, have you got like, will your mum babysit all five or do you have to sort of split them up and separate them? Because that's a lot for one person to take on overnight or something.
No. Well, if we're talking childcare, then my mum takes them after school on a Tuesday before swimming. But no, she's very smart. She doesn't take all five ever.
No.
She'll do one on one. So no, we've got our lovely nanny, Carolina, who looks after them. Like, so that's when I go this afternoon, I'm going to Newcastle to do my gig, the steps this evening. So yeah, I'll leave her in her capable hands because Rich is working.
Okay, so she'll come in and take over. So you've got someone you go to when you need to go and do your work and stuff.
Oh, golly, yeah.
Yeah, it comes in.
No, and I think... I'm very, very lucky that even when I just had one baby, we could afford to have a nanny. And I do understand that's a really big thing to be able to do that. And I was 25 when we had Sonny and we had Nanny Claire, who was our nanny for 11 years. And the beauty of having help, especially with lots of kids, is even when I'm just like, it means I can actually do things with them one-on-one sometimes as well, which I think is a massive privilege if you've got loads of kids. I love that very much.
I can't believe I'm going back on this detail, but did you say you're doing a gig with Steps?
I am, yeah. I'm on tour with them at the moment.
Amazing. What's that like? Sorry, I know that. So I know this is off topic.
Well, she's used to it. There's five of them, so she gets them, sits in rows, one in front of the other. If H starts kicking his seat, Lee don't mind.
Hand luggage only for Lee Latchford Evans. Yeah.
It's only white crop tops anyway, isn't it?
And will any of your kids come and watch that?
They're very welcome. But I don't know. I mean, the last time I did a gig in London, I said, who wants to come? And I think I had maybe two hands go up. So I just take whoever's interested. Yeah. They don't have to watch me. It's boring to watch your mum singing over and over.
So is this your kitchen disco? Are you touring that or is it just your music and stuff? Or is it a combination?
So next spring is the Kitchen Disco Tour. We're actually going to do it with a full band and do it properly. But this is kind of like, I suppose I've been doing kind of greatest hits things really and some covers and I just kind of want people to have a really good time and it's just going for like the party, clubby stuff and just having a bit of a dance with people. It's been so nice to have crowds again. I think I probably come out a bit over enthusiastic if anything. So I'm like super keen, like, yay, it's me. And like, they're probably like, wow, she's a bit enthusiastic.
That's good. Well, you've not been able to do it for ages. You want to do it. Also, you could be on a 6 hour bedtime. You're buzzing to be out on stage.
I turned up on tour and I didn't bring anyone with me. So I was in my dressing room on my own and the manager of Steps came in and went, oh God, are you all right? You're on your own. And I was like, it's bloody brilliant. I've got my iPad, I've got my jar of gherkins, I've brought my Game Boy. Life is good.
Yeah, I love it when I'm gigging on my own. When you go do a show, I love seeing all the empty dressing rooms and see how much money I'm saving rather having 10 people.
With the book, when you were writing it, was there a part of you that wanted to kind of I mean, they talk about question feeding and answer. But did you think about your kids reading it? And did you think about whether one day they'll have this record of your life?
Yeah, I did, actually. I was quite aware that they might. And, like, certainly my 12-year-old's already listened to it on Audible. He got straight to... So I'd be like, how are you doing tonight, Kit? He'd be like, I've just got to your panic attacks. Like, okay. But, yeah, no, I think
you talk about
fine.
Some quite intense and, like, some dark stuff in it. Yeah. So how did you feel about your kids reading that?
I just had a chat with... I mean, the little ones won't bother. Yet,
yeah, of course.
And the older ones, yeah. I had a chat with them. And I was like,
yeah,
these are the things that you might want to ask me questions about. But no, I mean, I'm quite an open person, like, in an age-appropriate world. I don't...
Yeah.
There's no subject I'm frightened of with them, to be honest. I don't want them to feel freaked out by anything like that. So I think some of it's okay. I think it's quite helpful to have these chats. Yeah. And they need to know I'm a 360 person. I'm not just their mum. You know, I've lived a life and I have experience, and there might be some things I've learned about that can help them. I'm totally cool with that, actually. Yeah,
and I think sometimes that, guys, I've got something to tell you about what's in my book. It can do more harm than good, right? It's if you're more relaxed about it and go, this is what happened, then that's how I feel, and it's in there if you want to read it. I think, you know, less stress is the best way sometimes. Where I think you could make it more of a bigger thing in your head to, I've got to tell them when actually it doesn't really matter and they'll find out themselves. And
you know what it's like when you read or experience anything, you pull out the things that are relevant to you. So the bits you know, there's bits of it that Kit probably just was like, you know, thinking about something totally different. And if I mentioned it, he might be like, oh, I didn't really notice that. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's
fine.
Yeah. Anyway, probably only wanted to know how much he was in it, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Straight to the index.
Well, that's why if you get an ebook, you can just search your name. It's quicker that way.
Oh, can you do that, Rob?
Yeah, yeah, and just see if they've mentioned you. Just have a little scat about it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why someone would do that. I mean, I haven't done that at all ever.
If you want to write about Rob, you can just put, like, what was it? Jaffa Cake Nips. Or
Jaffa, Cake Nips. Jaffa Cake Nips. Yeah, yeah. See, that's why I search. Little Wanker, that's Jaffa Cake Nips. Yeah, big mouth. Yeah, big teeth, no gums, stuff like that.
This sounds like your character show that you're going to do, Rob, your sketch show. I do Little Wanker, I do Jaffa Cake Nips.
I do have a character act called Melvin Skinback that I did years ago, but I haven't done for ages. Oh. Yeah, but yeah, it was quite shit. And I'm so sick.
Quite shit. What a review. It was quite shit.
Quite shit. Sophie, but we always finish with this question. Is there one thing that your partner does parenting-wise that really annoys you, but you don't sort of keep bringing it up because it turns into an argument? Is there something he does that just gets on your wick and you sort of just deep breath and move on?
You know what? Nothing sprung to mind, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah.
Is there anything he does that really annoys me? I mean, Richard's done... he's literally... He'll put them in clothes that are from a brother's... drawer, he'll put the shoes on the wrong feet. But annoyingly, if he's sort of got, you know, full control of everything, he's actually quite good at it, which I find kind of irritating because I think I get a lot more in a flap and he'll like, it's fine, and sort of deal with it.
So that annoys you, that the fact he's quite calm.
Yeah, and I did, when you said about the bib thing, it did remind me about it's not through my own choice because I don't really see the point of it, but we've got a hot tub because Richard really likes having a hot tub. And sometimes he'll get in there with the kids, and then when he gets out, if he goes in his boxers, he'll hang them up in the cupboard on top of the kids. We have like these little onesies they put on in the morning if they're cold.
He'll hang
it on top of that, so then I have like wet onesies in the morning from their dad's boxer shorts the night before, and I'm just like, that's
not
cool,
okay.
Man.
No,
I think where you put your wet boxers.
Fair enough, that is annoying, and you're right to bring it up, and if he listens, he might stop doing that.
Yeah, but then I'm already annoyed we have a hot tub. I'm just like, what's the point? I just have a bath like a normal person. Why do you need to be in the garden?
Do you not get in it then? Not really.
Nah, like maybe once a year or something, but he's like trained the kids so that even the little ones can go out the hot tub, get him a beer, come back with the beer, and they'll sit there having like philosophical chats under the stars. The kids love it.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, lovely. Five kids and you're managing to have a beer in the hot tub. I've got two and I haven't done anything in about a year and a half. What is going
Richard
on?
Richard just manages to make life work out for himself. It's just, it's just one of those life skills that he has.
Sophie, that's been amazing. Thank you so much.
The book is called Spinning Plates. It's out now.
Yes.
In book or audiobook for your sons, or ebook for Rob if he wants to search for his own name.
Yeah.
So
he slagged me off at a gig or something where we met Sunday brunch. I met this right prick Sunday brunch. Don't know what his name was, but he had massive nips.
Oh my God.
Now back to my kids. Thanks so much, Sophie.
Thanks, Sophie.
Thank you. Good to talk to you guys.
Cheers, mate. Sophie Ellis-Bextor there. She was absolutely lovely, wasn't she?
God, busy life.
What a life, Rob.
Five kids.
Absolutely obsessed with how everything worked in her house, weren't you?
Just close your eyes for a second and just compute hand luggage only.
Oh, my God.
I just send shivers down my spine.
Do I have to be on the flight as well?
You can't just send Rose with five...
I'll stay at home with the 17-year-old, thanks very much, Rob.
Yeah, just have a beer in the hot tub, watch the football.
Yeah, exactly.
She's loving, she's got a good balance. Well, right, she works loads, so it's good to have that. You know, there's a little, you know, sometimes I think with working mums, that having a nanny is a bit like, oh, you have a nanny, do you? Like, but I think you've got to, you can't physically be in two places at once. Exactly. You can't earn money and have kids and stuff. And I think sometimes that's a harsher on women than men, that childcare thing. But yeah, good on her. She sounds like she's absolutely nailed it. Little tuk-tuk, I might get one of them.
I love the tuk-tuk.
You should get one. That'd be perfect for you around your way.
Do you think?
Yeah, because it's park it wherever you want. Residence parking. Take her to preschool. Come back. Don't have to get the bus. Don't have to pay a taxi.
If people saw me in a tuk-tuk, they'd absolutely... Can you imagine?
You definitely look like Noel Edmonds then.
Yeah, I just don't think I'm cool enough to pull off the tuk-tuk. But I'm just imagining. So imagining being in a traffic and a black cab stuck behind you and you're in a fucking tuk-tuk and how angry they'd be at you.
You outside.
And then they go past you and they recognise you and your life isn't worth living.
And the problem is, if you go back through Central and you go past like Mamma Mia and then like loads of drunk mums get in, they think you're like one of them rip-off ones.
Do you know what, Rob? The prices they're charging, I'd happily pick up people from West End.
Just have ABBA playing on your Spotify. Yeah.
Do you know what? I've got a gig tonight, Rose. I'm going to make more money by going into the West End and I'm going to be outside Harry Potter.
Yeah, so, just trying to find a couple of Japanese tourists to charge 900 quid for a trip to Old Kent Road.
Tottenham Court Road, yeah.
Wicked. Well, that was Sophie Ellis-Bextor. We'll be back on Tuesday with some more parenting chat, won't we, Josh?
See you then, yes.
Cheers, bye.